All right, welcome into the Fan pregame. Just a half hour today on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Molson Leafs hockey will be next with myself and Gord Stellick. It's Justin and Jesse. It's a big day. Scotiabank Wednesday night hockey. Oh. Hockey is back amongst Canadian cities.
Let's
but
go.
It wouldn't be hockey back without some goaltending controversies in Leafland. The Joseph Woll curveball is as good as a Michael King curveball, I guess, although they were kind of bad last night.
Teo
got him on a curveball, yes. I believe, as well. But yeah, Joseph Woll not there to start the season while the Maple Leafs start their season. What was your reaction when that news came down today?
Remember the old George W. Bush clip? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me, can't get fooled again.
You nailed that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's basically what I thought. It's like, okay, the first couple times he gets injured and misses big moments, and you're thinking, well, this guy's going to have to prove something this year. Never made more than 24 starts. And lo and behold, opening night, when it didn't seem like this was an issue. Like, it's another thing. Like, Craig Berube said, like, oh, there's a chance he plays tomorrow. Then he goes on IR. It's just you start to lose the ability of being able to rely on him. And I think that eventually probably seeps into the room a little bit in terms of, like, okay, like, we maybe got to protect him a little bit more because this guy can't stay healthy. And there's no one's doubting the potential and ability that Joseph Woll has. He absolutely can be one of the better goalies in the National Hockey League. I believe that. But if you can't stay healthy, you can't become that player. Like, yeah. It is priority number one is to stay healthy. And unfortunately for him, I don't know what it is, but it doesn't seem like he's able to do that.
Yeah, I don't really want to be alarmist on this one because, you know, everything could change. But I'm also now more convinced than ever that nothing will change. Like, the Maple Leafs and all the staff and all the science and all the money that goes into protecting players and their performance, they obviously understand that something's going on here. There's a regimen in the offseason where you're training differently. Maybe you're eating differently, sleeping differently, whatever it is. Like, you're trying to deal with this and be proactive about it. And yet before we can actually play a meaningful shift on the season for the Maple Leafs, it happens again. And yeah, there's a money investment, and I guess they can get around that, although it will be a thorn in their side if it just continues to happen. But I guess the saving grace here is that if you're a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs, at least you're confident with what's behind him, right? Like, Dennis Hildeby had a great preseason, and there's a lot of people talking up Dennis Hildeby's potential down the road. Matt Murray waiting in the wings, and maybe there's no reason to be truly optimistic about that. He still, like, has pedigree, serviceable. Maybe he gives you something. And then you got Anthony Stolarz, who will start tonight. Maybe he goes back-to-back. Maybe he plays the first three games. I'm not really sure. But he showed out in the preseason, and he looks like he has massive potential. So there is suddenly what there wasn't before, which is a pretty sizable safety net, one that runs three goaltenders deep. And again, it's going to be an issue if he can't be healthy, but at least you're looking back and it's not Michael Hutchinson or someone you have zero faith in. And again, they haven't proved it yet. We haven't seen Hildeby before. Matt Murray has not proven himself, obviously, or at least in this iteration as it stands, and Stolarz still has a lot to prove, but I think there's optimism there with the depth.
Yeah, Stolarz was graded out relative to playing time as the best goalie in the National Hockey League last year, relative to playing time, but that's a pretty impressive stat to be able to point to. And I do think there's an element of luck that exists with goaltending these days that it maybe wasn't the case before. Like, how many true standout goaltenders that you can rely on night in, night out are there in the NHL? It's not like it used to be where it seemed like every single team had one guy that they relied on every night. Most teams now have a 1A and a 1B type of situation. And if you go back to teams that have been successful, like, there's a lot of sort of, you know, luck and randomness involved. Like, Stuart Skinner, when the Oilers were bad at the beginning of last year, was horrendous. Horrendous. And everyone was like, oh, the Oilers can't win anything because Skinner's not a good goaltender.
Yeah.
And then lo and behold, he turns it on and they make it all the way to game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Just because someone hasn't proved it yet doesn't mean that they're not a good goaltender. And I think these guys have the opportunity to step up here and prove that they can get it done. And that's you're right. That's the silver lining for the Leafs, because it's a terrible way to start the season. And you go into yet another season with a starting goaltender that you didn't have the year before. Mm. And it feels like they are like they are taking chances, and you're going, you know, Freddie Anderson and, you know, Jack Campbell and Murray and Samsonov, and it's like, how many different guys are you going to try until you actually hit on someone? And it just feels like they're kind of due to be able to hit on somebody.
Terrible news to start the season for the Maple Leafs, but a perfect way to start the season for hockey fans in Canada. The Maple Leafs at the Bell Center tonight. Yeah. To face the Montreal Canadiens on the call will be our Craig Simpson, who joins us now. Thanks for doing this, Simmer, on game night.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so we're just talking about, I think you heard a little bit, the Joseph Woll curveball today. It would be surprising, but, you know, Joseph Woll's obviously run into this issue a few times before. How does the Joseph Woll injury narrative and all that goes into, you know, this announcement today, how does it paint and impact the season for you?
Well, I think for me, it's game number one, so you got to sort of park it for a little bit and say, you know, you never know exactly, A, has this been bothering him all camp? You know, he hardly played until the very last game, so you have to feel that maybe there was a bit of that was hampering him throughout the camp. But right now, I think your focus has to be, okay, park that for a minute here. You prepared yourself in terms of the insurance of having Stolarz, you know, on a two-year deal at a pretty good amount. The guy who's played over 100 games in the league, had, you know, a great year last year in the role of backup with 27 games. Now you're going to go, let's just get this season started and deal with what we have to with Woll as we go along. You know, the knee-jerk reaction, it's wasted energy to get concerned or worried about it. I think they have to be disappointed. And I know if you're Joseph Woll, you're incredibly disappointed. You had the opportunity to, you know, solidify the opportunity to be the number one guy, come in with a big stage in game one and have a great game. But I think you're going to have to just let that breathe. And right now, I said on, what, last Saturday in, or whatever the day was in Detroit, that I thought Stolarz had been the best goaltender in camp. And if you were just going to pick a guy to start out of what's going on, he would have been my guy to start. So I don't think from Craig Berube's standpoint right now, anyways, as the coach, he's going up. I don't feel bad about the guy who's going in that tonight at all. He probably, under different circumstances, might have been the guy to go anyway. So, you know, it'll play itself out over the next little while. The fact that you have back-to-backs creates a potential issue. But listen, no goaltender is going to have a problem if he has to go back-to-back the first two games of the season. Nobody's fatigued. Everybody's excited. And it creates an opportunity for Stolarz to show what he has in goal.
I think your answer may have just calmed a lot of Leaf fans' fears, because it was just a brutal headline for them to wake up to. Tonight's game, I mean, obviously you're not going to learn too much about anybody, about any team on night one of the NHL season, but with a new head coach, what are some of the things that you're looking forward to seeing from the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight with Craig Berube behind the bench?
Yeah, you're good point. I don't think you're going to all of a sudden be a completely different team. I think step one in game number one for Craig is to say, you know, I want our team to be fast on the forecheck. I want our team to be really aggressive when they can. I want our team to finish check, be able to stop the cycle. And so, you know, that's been preached to the guys throughout the training camp. And, you know, one game is not going to be an indicator of, oh, yeah, everything's changed. The team's different. I think you'll see a lot of similarities. And let's face it, guys, this has been a Leaf team that in the last four complete seasons of 82 games, they're a 100-point team. I mean, this is not a faltering team that has real troubles. I think everybody understands this is a team that you look at the way that they've played, they've got to find a way to have a different element at the key time come playoff time. So it's going to be a journey over 82 games. And I know your listeners don't love preaching patience. That's really going to be it, right? You know, everybody wants to hear in the now. But I do think you'll see an effort of the guys to say, okay, we from the first day of training camp have been prodded on this is the way we want to play. And if I'm a player, even if I'm in my ninth year in the league, I've got a new coach and a new set of eyes, and I'm going to want him to show that, hey, I'm listening, I'm coachable, and I can start to do the things that you're trying to preach. It may not be perfect early on here, but I think you'll see some of that, and that'll be interesting to watch as the game goes along.
Craig, Montreal got its bad news out of the way early with Patrick Laine, having to miss a couple first couple months of the season. But I think there's still reason for optimism. I think there's a lot to be excited about in Montreal. You got the Kirby Dach return. You got Lane Hudson emerging on that blue line. It is a sneaky deep team, at least in terms of utility and value up and down the lineup. Those two in particular, Dach, Hudson, you know, do you think they can power the progression that, you know, we haven't seen, frankly, from Montreal the last few years? I think we're waiting on them to take a major step. And in the absence of Line A, can they push forward without him and make this season a little bit more interesting, at least at the end, than the last few have?
Well, yeah, the unknown of Line A was still there too, right? I mean, we would have been talking about if Line A is in the lineup tonight, what kind of player are we going to see? Are we going to see a guy that is going to be a threat to score all the time, or are we going to see a guy that has had inconsistencies and had trouble getting back to the level that he was early in his career? So you never know in that regard. And whenever you find early on, as you mentioned, get the bad news out early in camp, it opens up the opportunity for someone else, and it gives someone else a chance to maybe get a spot where they wouldn't have had the opportunity before. So, you know, Dach is a big one. I know that was such a blow to them, 4 minutes into game two last year. You lose a guy that you expected to really progress and really be able to push and able to allow your team to grow. You know, one of the problems all year last year was just the consistency and trying to get a little bit of a rhythm and a roll going for the Canadians. They only had one time all year they won three games in a row, and it came in game 70 through 72. And you know how tight the league schedule is and how hard it is to make the playoffs. You can't expect to be a playoff team if you can't do that. So I know right now, you know, Marty St. Louis is talking less about the offensive side, more about being a consistent, good defending team that I think he's feeling will allow his team to stay in some of those games. They lost more one-goal games than anyone in the National Hockey League last year, and they lost 27 games by one goal. You know, those are the differences of being a playoff team, or at least playing meaningful games, and not. And I think that's where your point of their depth, I think they'll be a better team. You look at the top line is a 25-year-old, a 23-year-old, and a 20-year-old. And I think Slavkovsky in his third year is going to really have the opportunity to grow and continue to build his game. And you just hope that they can start getting some consistency through the lineup. And part of that, I love watching Lane Hudson. He's been a great story throughout the exhibition. You know, coming in last year and playing 20, 23 minutes in each of his two games, he proved that, man, he's got the potential to be an eye-opener and a real guy who can push the offense in the back end. And so that'll be another guy that you really got to watch and say, you know, it would be fun to see that type of a player with great skills, great mobility. Looks an awful lot like the Norris Trophy winner of last year in Clint Hughes. And you say, this will be a fun first year to see how he handles playing NHL hockey at the regular season level.
Yeah, the point about the Habs defensively, they're right to focus on it because it could be a strength for this team. But the fact remains, they didn't do a great job of scoring last year either. And I just wonder, you mentioned Slavkovsky, he's going to be expected to take a step. But do they need more from Suzuki and Caulfield? And I know that a lot of Habs fans who are listening might say, well, they're star players, but you look at the point totals and you look at 77 points and 65 points respectively. Like, if they're actually going to get out of the bottom 10 in terms of goals scored in the National Hockey League, which I think we can all agree you need to get out of there if you're going to be a successful team, are those guys capable of taking it to the next level and becoming, I don't know, point per game guys, or maybe even more than that? And is that necessary for them to sort of dig their way out of this?
Well, I think for Nick, you know, you think of Suzuki, captain 3 years ago, and in those 3 years as a young captain, one of the youngest ever, has had a career year all 3 years. And, you know, he's grown, and last year you say 77. But if you can get a Caulfield that all of a sudden can go from 26 or 28 goals to 35 or maybe 40, you know, they haven't had a 40-goal scorer since Vinny Danfus in 1994.
Wow.
So it's been an awful long time for a 40-goal scorer to arrive on this Montreal Canadiens team. And so if Slavkovsky now, you know, the way he pushed and ended with a 20-goal year last year, maybe he's a 30 or 35-goal scorer. So now your top line all of a sudden is at least one guy at a point per game, and maybe you got a 30 and a 40-goal scorer. That's where you're starting to push. And if you can expect Dach at the second line area, even a guy like Barré Boulet, who is going to get his opportunity here, you know, he hasn't scored huge numbers at the NHL level, but there's a guy that all of a sudden, I think Marty St. Louis sees a lot of potential offensively in him, and maybe a 15 to 20 goal scorer. It's like every team needs to find that career year at the third line, at the second line, as a defenseman. And that's how you start to build that continuity offensively that they, quite frankly, haven't had the consistency of over the last few years.
We're chatting with Craig Simpson, who will be on the call tonight, Leafs and Habs from the Bell Center to open the NHL season. Lots to look forward to tonight, Craig. Matthews, Caulfield, Suzuki, Marner, et cetera, go down the line. But it feels like Arbor Jacki and Ryan Reeves reuniting or being reacquainted at some point seems to be at the top of the list for some in terms of points of intrigue. What would you set the odds at them meeting in the middle of the ice tonight?
Well, we were just looking last year, and I think Chris was saying it was, 10 minutes and 18 seconds or something that it happened in game one last year. So given the way that Jacki's preseason has been, he had, 49 penalty minutes most in the exhibition season. So I think it is almost inevitable, but I think what will be intriguing is to see, okay, what kind of game are we going to see? Are we going to be a fast-flowing, you know, attack at both ends game where I think both of these teams want to see their guys being able to push their game offensively and get a little good hard forecheck in. And you never know how these games digress and some of those actions happen. But without question, Jacki definitely sent the message during the exhibition season that he's probably going to be participating early. Yeah, you know what, for me, if it's theater, I say get rid of it. If something happens and there's a reason to go after or there's a response, then maybe it'll happen. Otherwise, I think for Reeves, he's probably just going to play hard and hit when he can. Jacki do the same, and we'll see who reacts first.
Yeah, we could quibble with Maple Leafs lineup decisions all we want, but with Arbor Jacki doing what we did in the preseason, probably a good thing Ryan Reeves is there just in case. And again, if it's staged, whatever, but if it's there for a reason, then it'll definitely add to the fireworks that will be opening night. We will let you go, Craig. Have a great call tonight and have a wonderful season. It's going to be a good one.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
That's Craig Simpson of the NHL on Sportsnet. Again, he'll be on the call tonight. Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey, Maple Leafs visiting the Habs. I think you made a really good point there in terms of what separates Montreal from the other teams who, I don't know, are ultra competitive, are gunning for a Stanley Cup, are just merely exciting. If your best players can't crack 80 points, and again, I'd have to, you know, make sure we're double checking, and it doesn't even matter like what the plateau is, because you look at the Maple Leafs who have guys who can run into the hundreds, even though Mitch Marner's never been there, and William Nylander stopped at 97 last year, but Austin Matthews, like beyond the pale, he's something special. Teams like Colorado have that. Great teams have those guys who are pushing the limits in terms of point totals. And really, those 20 to 30 points from a couple players, your best players, difference between what? 10, 15 goals, 20 goals. Maybe those 20 goals are the difference between 6, 7 points in the standings. Again, this is not perfect science. But if you don't have the players that are pushing those totals, it means that your middle class, your working class guys, your second, third, and even fourth liners have to be a little bit better than the other guys. And that's not a guarantee at all. Like if your top guys are, you know, struggling to crack the top 50 in goal scoring, it leaves a void. And I think that's what Montreal's fallen into last couple seasons.
Totally. I think the one thing that you can point to if you're a Habs fan, it's like similar to the conversation that we were having with Connor Bedard last year. It's like, okay, even though these guys have been playing together for a while and Suzuki and Caulfield have been playing together, the team itself hasn't been great around them. And I think there's an argument there where you could say, well, if the team's a little bit better, that's when guys start to pile in more points. And if the Habs end up getting off to a better start this year and some of the offense is carried throughout and, you know, maybe they get more power play opportunities or whatever it is, then you might start to see those numbers tick up a little bit. But it is kind of surprising to me when you think of the caliber of a guy like Cole Caulfield, his ability to shoot the puck, his ability to score, like 65 points is not where you would really expect him to
goals.
Be. Yeah, yeah, it's not where you expect him to be at this stage, or at least that's just my opinion. And I do absolutely think that in order for a team to be competitive, you got to have your top guys at least be a point per game. Otherwise, you got to have the best bottom nine guys in the league.
Yeah, you basically have to have an equal playing field.
Yeah.
Like, you just have nine
or
forwards.
Be the best defensive team in the league or by
that.
An absolute
and some
mile.
Teams do rely on that, and some teams have had an immense amount of success doing that. But, yeah, if you're Cole Caulfield and you have 40-goal potential, if you wind up with 28 –
it's not good enough.
You can't make up those goals.
No, you need a recipe. Like, you need a formula to win.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just hope and pray. And, like, you either have to be a great defensive team and your guys are 65, 75 points, mm-hmm. or those guys score a lot more and you can get away with being a mediocre to decent defensive team. And that's the way you win games. But being bad on both sides is not a winning formula.
The flip side of that, interestingly enough, is the Maple Leafs, who, you know, there's a bit of a narrative going around that, you know, is Austin Matthews is the best version of Austin Matthews for a team that is going to work under Craig Berube hunting down 70 goals. And again, I think it kind of distorts the actual conversation or the point when, yeah, a lot of those goals were coming at the end of the season when you're chasing and it's there and it's the carrot dangling in mm-hmm. front of you and you abandon some of the stuff that you want to see.
That was
in the playoffs
like what Ovi should do this year.
Yeah, it kind of distracts from the point. I don't think Austin Matthews should be trying to score fewer goals this year, but it's going to look different, right? Yeah. It's going to look different with these guys, and it has to, or it's not going to look different in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Craig Berube's got to sink his teeth into these guys and change the way they play. Will it come at the expense of goal scoring? Perhaps. Can they potentially handle a dip in scoring at the very top of the food chain and have better results? When you're the Leafs and you're built the way you are, I think that's possible. They are very polar opposites in this regard, and yet I would caution against limiting too much of that goal.
Well, score. 2 years ago, they were a good defensive team, and they didn't get credit for being a good defensive team. Like, they were among the league leaders in terms of goals allowed, and then last year they took a dip, a pretty significant one defensively, and I think it ended up costing them in the end. And if they can turn that around, I think people would be okay with trading a little bit of offense for being a little bit more stout defensively. We know in hockey, especially come playoff time, the defensive side of the puck is very important. So that's something that the Leafs can afford to do because they have the talent and they've proven that they have the ability to score at will. You have to have the commitment on the defensive side. That's the riddle for the Leafs. The Habs are on the other side of that coin.
A reminder that the NHL is back. You can catch all the action all season long on Sportsnet, Sportsnet Plus, and the Sportsnet Radio Network to celebrate the start of the new season, which begins for the Maple Leafs and Habs tonight. Rogers is giving away hundreds of prizes through a national Rogers Beyond the Seat contest, including a grand prize of a chance to win a trip to any NHL game this season. To enter for your chance to win, head to rogers.com/NHL. Contest closes on October 25th. Quickly, let's do some best bets. On Sportsnet Plus today, the Padres will try to close out the Dodgers. Dylan Cease on the bump. You got an opener for the Dodgers who are having a bullpen game despite spending $1 billion in the offseason. But I digress. Shohei Ohtani hit a home run off Dylan Cease in the opener. I don't think he needs to hit a home run for the Dodgers to win, but he might need to hit a home run for the Dodgers to win tonight. So I got Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run for the second time, although it doesn't have to come against Cease, at +310 tonight.
Isn't it crazy the Dodgers spent literally $1 billion in the offseason and they have a bullpen game today?
They're pitching
facing elimination.
And they're so good despite their pitching being
Yeah. The game was so good too last night. Okay, I'm going with a superstar parlay tonight.
Okay.
Give me Matthews, McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, all 1 point or more, +145. Hilarious value. Hilarious to have four guys in one parlay to get a point and it be only +145. But you know what? These guys all rise to the occasion, and I'm very confident that all four are going to get a
Who's
point.
Who's going to be the guy at Kangaroo Court tomorrow that's going to bust that parlay for you?
Probably Sid.
I mean, that's the way to start the season, though, for sure. The best way to start the season, though, Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. Leafs and Habs, season opener, 7 p.m., Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Pregame will start in, 5 minutes with myself and Gord Stellick with a special guest of Wendell Clark. You can watch the game, obviously, on Sportsnet and Sportsnet Plus. Also still to come tonight, Winnipeg and Edmonton, Calgary and Vancouver on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 1, respectively. And, of course, you got the Major League Baseball postseason continuing all across the
network. What else could you ask for?
This is it. We are here. This is the best time.
Love it.
Thanks for the 30 minutes, Jesse.
See you tomorrow, buddy.